to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Gary Heseltine joining Gene and Chris on the Paracast. He's talking about this movie screenplay he wrote with Colonel Charles Halt, who was one of the people involved in the Rendlesham encounter. Is this meant to be a documentary or a fiction film?
Well, basically, where we're at now is the professional reviews that I've had have basically said, you have got two things here. You've actually got a kind of blow-by-blow, accurate timeline docudrama, which stands up. But what they said was that you need to change that, which is kind of like the original version I had. You need to change that if you want to make it a cinema release. We suggest that you make two. You've got the docudrama version, which is total kind of blow-by-blow reconstruction. But if you want a theatrical version, you're going to have to make it more character-driven, etc., etc. And I think because I was so close to the material for a long time, I had difficulty kind of accepting what to include from a theatrical cinema presentation and what I wanted to have in a blow-by-blow documentary kind of story. In the end, I got the message. I then ended up with a theatrical version, and that's now been theatrically reviewed by several people in the business, and they're all saying it's very good now. So it's there or thereabouts. Now, obviously, I'm not saying that's the finished product, because I don't think any script ever is, no matter who you are. You know, once a film company gets involved, they would have their own ideas or whatever. But essentially, it's up to the point where it's good enough. It's set out right, the layout, format, etc. It's good enough, and everybody's saying it's good. So it was one of the reasons why I decided to retire. The other reason was I felt compelled, for some reason, to do more active research. Technology had changed. Obviously, I think we will talk about this, that I'm launching an online magazine, which, to me, will have the strongest lineup of researchers in the world, as far as I can see, and I've looked at all the printed magazines, other online magazines, they've all agreed to do it, so it felt to me like the time was right. But what you have to remember is that when I was in the police, initially when I began my research, I was allowed to say and do whatever without any interference. But in the last 4 years, 5 years of my time in the police, almost 24 years, I was under a lot of pressure, to the point where in 2009 I wrote to the MOD, the Ministry, British Ministry of Defence, when they closed they suddenly decided to close their UFO reporting facility, which had been in existence for over 50 years. I thought, well, what a police force is going to do? They're still going to get anywhere between 350-500 sightings a year around all the 43 national county police forces. And I wrote to them and said, look, I'm a detective with the British Transport Police. I've got X amount of service. The MOD have closed the UFO reporting desk. Are you aware? If not, you're going to have to get some kind of contingency plans in place, because you're still going to have sightings, but who are you going to send them to? Would you mind sending them to me, because I'm in my spare time, I do UFO research, I've got this database for police officers, so I know the rules on data protection, things like that. Could you send the information to me? And of the 38 forces that I wrote to, within a few days, 24 of those forces came back and said, we weren't aware of this at all. Yes, we'll look at it in our strategic planning. And within a week or two from that, two forces, Suffolk, which is where the Rendlesham event coincidentally took place, and my own hometown force of Humberside, said, we will appoint you as what's called a SPOC, a single point of contact, and we will pass cases that come to us for you to research and whatever. So I thought, oh, great. Then I get called into my area commander, a superintendent, a chief superintendent, for a meeting. Uh-oh. Yeah, and he says, you wrote one of the letters to other forces. I said, yes. I said, it's a private letter to a chief constable, and making out that, saying it's a private act. And he said, well, the story is that our new chief constable, British Transport Police new chief constable, had got a phone call from another chief constable who'd kind of ribbed him about who's this UFO guy you've got, and kind of trivialised it, was laughing at my chief constable. He took a dim view of that, obviously had a dim view of the subject, and he then instructed my area commander to set about misconduct a hearing for bringing the force into disrepute.
Whoa, you're kidding.
No. Cutting a long story short, I was then subject to a misconduct hearing that took a year to get to the final hearing. And at the end of that final hearing, where your job is potentially on the line and your pension and everything, at the end of that, I was given a 12-month written warning. Okay, so that means if anything happens in the next 12 months, we could sack you, basically. So I basically, after that, realised that, in a sense, I was on a collision course. If I continued my work in the vein that I had been doing, to the extent that I'd been doing it sort of media-wise. So I basically kept my head down low, and it made me realise it left a bitter taste. I still cannot see to this day how I can bring a force into disrepute for a private letter by just disclosing which force I belong to. And that's what had led to my being disciplined for bringing the force into disrepute. I'll never understand that, but you cannot beat a big organisation. So you're guilty, and that's it. 12-month written warning. So basically, the writing was on the wall for me, and I decided then, really, that as soon as I could financially afford to go, then I would leave. And that situation arose as a result of being married, getting married, and I decided that in 2013 I would retire, and on the 31st of March this year I retired. So now I can say I'll do whatever I want. But that's the story. I was disciplined.
Wow. Gary, I am really shocked that they would take your casual private interest and use that as some sort of rationale for misconduct and spanking you for that. I'm really amazed at that. I mean, a quiet aside, you know, your commander take you aside and say, hey, look, you're being a little too public or something. But to actually, you know, threaten your pension when you've been on the force 20 years, I mean, that I really, boy, that's not right.
And no, it's not right. And I could have understood about bringing the force into disrepute had I have stood naked, chained to a railing outside 10 Downing Street and screaming, I believe in UFOs, kind of thing. And I could have understood that, but not through a private letter to a chief constable, just giving him a bit of information, basically, and asking him, would you kindly, and it's only because I mentioned which force I belong to. But I said to my area commander, I said, well, that's ridiculous. I said, if I went into a bank and they said to open an account, what do you do as a job? I'd say a police officer. Well, which force are you with? And I went with the British Transport Police. What have I done wrong? What's essentially have I done wrong in this letter to the chief constable? It's a private letter. But anyway, it wasn't good enough, and a 12-month written warning. But not very nice. Your job was potentially on the line. Your career's on the line. You've got mortgages and things like that. So, you know, it's a kind of a dangerous step, and you can't beat a big organisation. You certainly, if the police wanted to make it very difficult for you, they certainly could.
Well, you're pointing out something really interesting here. It's official attitudes towards the subject. We have a brand new poster at forum.theparacast.com that asks a really good question. It says, in your experience, Gary, how does the attitude toward UFOs in the British police establishment differ from its American counterpart, if at all? And I think that's a perfect place to ask that question. Have you found, dealing with your American counterparts, that there's still this stink and I don't know, just this terrible tag on this subject like you found?
What you find is that police officers in general, say the UK ones, that if you're in a group of people, then it's a bit of a joke. But privately, if you're one-to-one sat in a police car for a few hours with somebody, you get talking about all manner of things, and you get onto this subject because over a period of time they began to know of me. And they would say, look, I've seen something, or I was in the Air Force and my mate had seen something, or I was in the Army and, I had an experience there. So one-to-one, when it's quiet and nobody else around, people would start telling you UFO stories.
This is not uncommon, Gary.
No, it's not uncommon. It's absolutely, but
sure.
It's because of this ridicule factor that's been attached to the subject over the last 60 years, certainly since the Robertson panel in 1953.
We have Gary Heseltine joining Gene and Chris. More to come. You're in the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget.
A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Don't be surprised when the global elite confiscates money from your bank account one day. They have already very clearly telling you that they're going to do it. With what just happened in Cyprus serving as a blueprint for future bank bailouts, if you are concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and I will send you a booklet with 10 reasons why gold and silver could be right for you. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the next bank bailout hits. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCIG.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Gary Heseltine, former police detective in the UK, joining Gene and Chris, and we're talking about your experience and why you decided it was time to hang up the shield. At least there's a pension, I hope.
No, I've got my pension, so I've managed to escape with my pension, as it were. I can honestly say that since the time I've retired, I've obviously been very busy on a number of fronts, but I haven't missed the job at all, because for me, it was the right time to go.
Let's get a sense of your database now. Now, are these primarily British reports from British law enforcement, or have you Do you have a percentage of American cases, French cases? Give us kind of a breakdown out of all these hundreds of cases. Where do you assign them?
Right. Basically, the PRUFORCE database, PRUFORCE standing for Police Reporting UFO Sightings, that acronym, basically PRUFORCE caters for only British police officers. But there are two sections to which you can get on the database. One, you can have an on-duty sighting. And then two, you can have an off-duty sighting, because I don't make any distinction really between the two, in the sense of that if you're trained to use your professional reporting, using your eyes, ears, etc., your senses, to record in a chronological way for a court of law, then you're still going to do that if you have an off-duty sighting. So for me, it's the same pair of eyes, it's the same process if you were going to write it up. So the majority of cases are on duty, but there are perhaps, 15% of the cases that are off-duty, which are still relevant to me, because most of those corroborated by their wives, partners, etc., children. If we look at the cases in total, after what is now 11 years of research, I now have over 425 cases, all British, involving over 940 British police officers, which I think is a lot of officers. Interestingly, the more I've become well-known within the field, and the more those numbers go up, the more the national media shy away from me. When I first launched, there was big interest, police officers starting database, few national articles here and there, series pieces. But as time's gone on and the numbers go up, paradoxically, their interest in me reduces, which is kind of strange, because you'd have thought 940 British police officers is a lot. And it would make some kind of a headline or a little story here and there, but in the nationals they won't go near me now, or if they do, it's three or four lines and that's it, which is a bit bizarre, and kind of adds to the aura that the more credible evidence you assemble, the less the media at national level wants to talk to you. So I kind of think that bears that out. Of the cases, I'm not a big lover of statistics, because I've learnt over the years in the police, and some people would say I shouldn't say this, but police, like anybody else, will manipulate statistics for their own ends. And I've seen them do it. I actually worked in a department many years ago, 20 years ago, early on in my service, a newly created crime recording department, where they would say, well, we're having too many crimes of that type, or we'll have a similar crime classification to that, we'll call them as well. So basically we're manipulating the figures, and it's always stayed with me. I think statistics can be manipulated in any way to show whatever you want. It's like clever editing of a TV program. I'm not a big lover, but the statistical work that I have done on the database, the last time I really had an in-depth look at the stats was about 3 years ago, and since then I kind of like just kept it a mental profile when I add to it each year. Of the 425 cases, 70% approximately are multiple officer witness cases. 70%. So that means of 425 cases, over 300 are multiple officer cases. Now that's a lot.
That is a lot.
And again, it strikes at the sceptic who'll say, oh, well, it's just the police officer at 3 in the morning, he's tired, he's misinterpreting something. I think the odds are when it's 70% of two or more, and in some cases I've got 5, 6, 7, 8, in one case, 24 officers watching objects travelling over 6 counties in 1993, which is the Cosford incident, which is a well-known British case. That's a lot of officers to get it wrong.
You know what, before we go on, would you briefly summarize that particular case you referred to? Because not all our listeners follow this stuff that carefully.
In the UK, it's called the Cosford incident. Basically, we're talking about the night of the 30th into the 31st of March, 1993. And effectively, there were a whole number of civilians reporting at least one, possibly two lights that were either joined or it was one object moving across the sky over 6 counties. And basically, as it crossed over the 6 regions, these large areas of counties of England, police officers were catching sight of it as time went by. So in a sense, you end up with a situation as it starts effectively towards the Midlands and then drifts to the southwest, going out towards Bristol and Wales and that kind of area. So it's travelling over several counties, and police officers must be getting tipped off that there's objects approaching, and they're seen from lots of different vantage points. Police officers, two, ones, threes, in groups from different geographical positions watching this. And it led to a big spate of calls, coincidentally, through to Nick Pope, who's obviously known for his time at the MOD desk, which was whilst he was at the reporting desk, because he was there between 91 and 94. So he ended up one morning with all these calls from police officers saying we've seen these strange objects. He did some research on it and was able to confirm to the satisfaction of himself that in the rare instance, the British government admitted that there was an unknown aerial object travelling over the skies of Britain that has never been explained, which for the MOD is extremely rare. But that's well done, Nick, on that.
Yeah, I do faintly kind of remember that case. I remember it did make some headlines, and it is one of the best documented cases, I think, in recent past there. Again, now, you mentioned that you're only, primarily, you're dealing with British law enforcement. Have you ever thought of expanding this? There are a number of very, very good cases involving American law enforcement officials. Have you ever thought of maybe slowly starting to collate outside of the UK cases?
Yes, but I think there's drawbacks to that. Yes, I could collate them, but it wouldn't be the same as somebody in the United States who was a police officer, ideally, or a retired police officer, who would be able to talk to his American counterparts in a way better than I would. Because, yes, there's a certain kinship, and that's why I started with the Prüfos police database, because I was a serving detective, so when they rang me up, they'd say, oh, you're never going to believe me, blah, blah, blah. They were a bit shy at first, but we could talk about police things. They soon realised that I was the genuine article. They relaxed, and then they would tell me the story. To a certain extent, I think you need that in whichever country you're going to have a similar police database, an army database, or a pilot's database. You need to have a certain level of kinship to get them to open up. You need to have that familiarity with right. the way the protocols work. So in that sense, I think it's better to be done by somebody of the country where they're setting up the database.
Right.
I've had American officers contact me, but nothing on any really official level. They would just tell me about one or two cases. I was already aware of many of the American cases, and they're outstanding. And I would say in America, given the size of the country, if somebody did what I have done, you would quickly, over 5 or 10 years, you'd end up with thousands of cases because of pure size and populations, etc.
Gary Heseltine joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
So, a natural disaster strikes, and out goes your power. You risk losing stored food in electric freezers and refrigerators. Your options: lose all that expensive food and medication, fire up a noisy gasoline-powered generator, or switch now to a propane or natural gas-powered refrigerator from Ben's Discount Supply. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com has a complete line of propane-powered refrigerators. Freezers in sizes ranging from a small camper cooler size up to a whopping 21-cubic-foot refrigerator freezer or a 22-cubic-foot deep freezer. In stock and ready to ship anywhere. BensDiscountSupply.com also stocks a full line of solar-powered appliances to get you completely off the grid. Check out BensDiscountSupply.com or call 800-771-7702. That's 800-771-7702. Or click BensDiscountSupply.com for camping, home, or bug-out location. Bank on BensDiscountSupply.com.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fem and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at HerbalHealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
Gary Heseltine joining Gene and Chris. He's a retired police officer, set up a database to collect sightings from his fellow officers in the UK. And we were talking just very briefly in our previous segment about whether they can extend the joy to the U.S. Have you ever thought, Gary, very briefly before we get back to listen to questions from Chris, maybe working with researchers in other countries to build a global database of such reports?
Yeah, no, I would welcome that. But what you've got to realize is that in retirement, I've set up to do two things specifically, and there is only so many hours in the day. As an aside to that, I then want to promote actively the Rendlesham script, which is called Three Nights in December, and it's basically telling the time frame story of the three nights of consecutive activity between the morning of the 26th through to the morning of the 28th. So that's three nights of activity, so that's why it's called Three Nights in December. But the two principal reasons I retired were, one, to launch and set up UFO Truth magazine, which is a bi-monthly magazine, the first issue will be available on the 25th of June. The website's already up and running, so anybody can have a look, can subscribe to it, blah, blah, blah. But the other thing, which people aren't aware of, is that over my time, during my almost 24 years of service in the police, I saw two colleagues of mine, police fellow officers, commit suicide. Not saw them as in physically commit suicide, but they committed suicides whilst they were in the job, whilst I was in the job. And there were two friends of mine. I've seen lots of police officers dealing with chronic stress, being in denial, burnout, quitting the job rather than admit that they've got a problem, driven to the brink of suicide, being off sick for long periods of time. And so one of the things that I said I would do in retirement is set up an unofficial national website for UK police officers and stress. And that I did first in retirement. I did that first. And that's called policepressure.co.uk. And that's a resource centre with coping strategies, helplines, etc., etc., information, stress statistics, anything I can find basically on Stress and the Police. So that's important to me. So that's now up and running. So that's a separate entity. And then, of course, I've then started working on launching the magazine. So the two very distinct things, but I think equally worthy. With regards to the magazine, you know, the list of columnists is I think, very strong. You know, you've got the likes of AJ Javad from Brazil, who's one of, probably, in my opinion, one of the top five researchers in the world. You've got Roberto Pernotti from Italy. You've got Bill Chalker from Australia. You've got Susan Hansen from New Zealand. You've got Pia Knudsen, who's an up-and-coming researcher from Denmark, Exopolitics, things like that. Mary Rodwell, I'm sure you'll have heard of, people like that. Plus a host of UK researchers. But as well as that, it's the guest columnist, Peter Robbins. Peter Robbins, obviously well known for Left at Eastgate, working with Larry Warren on that, and Rendlesham. He's also a regular columnist. But what you've also got is the guest columnists who've agreed to take part in future issues, and that's, you're looking at Robert Salas, obviously with the Maelstrom missiles, recently gave evidence, the citizens' hearings, which we'll probably talk about at some point, which I think were very important, although some people might argue with that. Steve Bassett, Richard Dolan, Grant Cameron, Andrew Johnson in the UK, Lloyd Pye. These kind of people have all said that they will contribute in the future. So it's a very strong lineup, as far as I can see, of what I would call, you know, very serious researchers with long track records of stuff that I think is evidential.
You know, you raised one issue there, and I wanted to bring it up. The citizen hearing on disclosure. Now, our own Chris O'Brien was there working as a videographer, so we had kind of an on-the-scene discussion. And the concerns voiced by people like Leslie Kane and Robert Hastings and others is the fact that, yeah, you had a large number of speakers with a lot of very important things to say, well-documented cases, and then you had a few rabble-rousers in the group who had less well-documented things. And if you look at the press coverage in the USA, I don't know whether you have seen it or not, and I haven't seen what might have happened in your country, you'd see that the press seized on the less, shall we say, scientific claims to the exclusion of everything else. And this is one of the problems that always happens. So the question, of course, and the argument being, well, if we're going to do things that way, maybe these speakers should be left out, be a little bit more politically correct, because you want to get scientists to look into this phenomenon and not find excuses, more and more excuses to basically ignore it.
No, I would agree with you, because I always go from the evidential point of view. And,
which is why I wonder about Stephen Bassett, because he doesn't seem to care about evidence. We've had him on the show several times. And he doesn't care about vetting guests, because he's pretty much admitted that.
Well, Steve Bassett is a complicated character, in the sense of, when I first met him in Laughlin 2010, he walked into a room as if he owned it, and he came across to me as being very arrogant. Then, in a strange kind of quirk, a few months later, that was the February 2010, in the May of 2010, he invited me to speak at his conference at the National Press Club, coincidentally. And unbeknown to me, I was to receive the Disclosure Award for 2010. I had no idea, honestly no idea that was happening. So I went to Washington, and suddenly I get this award. And then he does something that's kind of like an alter ego. He did like a stand-up routine at the Saturday Evening Awards kind of night, which was absolutely hilarious, and I saw a completely different side of him. And I think he's kind of a manic character, but I would have to say that my opinion of him changed quite a lot then, because I saw a different side, a fun side to him. When you see him in this subject, he's very, very serious, but I think he's a brilliant speaker. Regardless of, yes, you're right, perhaps he should have vetted people more. I entirely agree with that. But I would still say, on the balance of the people that were there, the vast majority of people there were well-respected researchers with excellent track records. You know, when you're talking about pilots, there's nowhere to go. They're either lying or they're telling the truth. When you're talking about people like Robert Salas in the missile incidents, shooting down nukes, there's nowhere to go. That guy is straight up. So the quality of some of the witnesses, and I would say the majority of them, Roberto Panetti was there, AJ Gerard, absolutely incredible track records, with totally impeccable records. You know, so there were, for me, there were a lot of very high caliber people there. Yes, I think with hindsight, he will have learned some things, but his, I think his remit was to try to just get us to have what we could only do in the public domain is a mock congressional hearing or as near to it. And I was there for virtually all of the sessions, and I can state as a police officer that the setup in the press club with the six politicians, the former senator, the five former congressmen and women, the table where the speakers were given testimonials, the oath that was taken, it was done very professionally, and I would say it was very akin to being in a court of law or what would probably be a proper congressional hearing, except for the fact that there was occasional bursts of clapping and hooing and harring with something that was said popular, which wouldn't happen in a full proper congressional hearing. But it, believe me, it was done very solemnly, and the people gave their evidence in a courtroom-type manner. And so I would have to take my hat off to Steve Bassett for, one, getting it all together. I think he would have probably been a nightmare to live with because he's that kind of manic character, but I'd have to take my hat off to him and say I think he pulled it off. It was a brilliant event.
Before we do our break, which we will in a moment, I just hope that your changed impression of Steve Bassett is not because you got an award, okay? Fair enough?
Funny.
Okay. Just mentioning that, I think you understand our concerns because the least common denominator and the talking points and the sound bites of what the press is going to seize on, which is why I understand Leslie Kane's point of view. You've got to vet your guests. You have to make sure that every last one of them, without exception, has something responsible to present, and don't try to sell too much because you're going to hurt the cause, as they say. Okay, we've got Gary Heseltine joining Gene and Chris. More questions from our listeners coming up next. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com. So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day. Unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. 866-229-0927. Or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
There's a guy named Dr. Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor. Both a veterinarian and a naturopathic physician, Doc asks, why is this country spending more money on healthcare? By far, and ranking 50th in health and longevity worldwide. Doc believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, taking charge of their life, and attaining optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic pharmaceutical drugs that lead to side effects that require more expensive and toxic pharmaceutical drugs. Talk about being dependent on drug companies to our own destruction, no less. This is clearly a deadly recipe. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the government and big pharma manipulation of our health and healthcare system. I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare, and I've joined forces with him to help this tireless crusader spread his message. Visit BrightSideBen.com and listen to Doc Wallach's deadly recipe lectures. It makes a lot of sense, and I invite you to join our BrightSideBen team. Go to BrightSideBen.com. That's www.BrightSideBen.com.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, we have UFO researcher, former police officer Gary Heseltine. He's got this database of police reports, and a little bit later we'll tell you how to get his new magazine. We'll talk about that. But right now, Chris, you've got loads of questions from our audience. Let's have a few more.
I do, and you know, I'm sitting here fascinated listening to Gary pretty much voice my exact opinion about the hearings. I was very surprised and pleasantly so that the hearings were able to maintain this level of gravitas that you normally don't associate with this particular subject. Unfortunately, there were a number of questionable submitters of testimony. I won't get into any names, but...
I will. Stephen Greer, Linda Moulton Howe. Is that a good start?
That's a pretty good start. But the Honorable Paul Hillier's closing statement, quoting E.T. verbatim dialogue from the book of a questionable abductee and telling the congresspeople what... the aliens' concerns are for humanity was not the way to sum up the entire proceedings. And I don't know about you, Gary, but I just felt that that just took all the air out of any sort of gravitas balloon.
Well, no, I agree entirely with that. It wasn't, in my opinion, for him to start quoting questionable things that you can't ordinarily prove easily. For me, it was all about, it was a week to present some of our best evidence from the pilots, the military people, etc., etc. And that's really what it should have all been about. I don't think it was really for anybody to start speculating about where they're from, what they're doing, because I've always took it from the point of the common sense person in the street. That's the kind of person I want to reach. And if you talk about alien abductions, which I do believe are real, but if you just said that to an ordinary member of the public who has no idea of the subject, they will laugh at you and walk away.
Yeah.
So for me, the best way to engage the ordinary person is to talk about pilots, to talk about radar operators, to talk about police officers, people they can identify with, to bring them into the subject, to open up their minds to what's involved in this very complex subject. You know, I honestly believe that, you know, Steve Bassett would have rather he didn't do that, but you'd better ask Steve about that. But the thing is, the bottom line is, it's still an amazing thing because Paul Hellyer was a former defence minister of Canada, and I think at one point deputy prime minister. So even in this kind of strange kind of way, he got away with it because of the gravitas of his former political background. You know, this, how many people of deputy prime minister of a country like, you know, a big country like Canada will actually say anything about UFOs? It, maybe it's questionable what he said, but his belief in ET, it's very rare for a senior politician like that to ever speak about it. So I think that's, in a sense, why he was there at the end.
Yeah.
I don't think Steve knew what he was going to come out with, and I think he probably thinks he rather he didn't come out with what he came out with, because I agree, we shouldn't be really speculating on things unless we've got a really evidential basis to quote.
Yeah, well, like you stated, you know, almost as a fact that there are, what, 5 to 7 different ET races that are interacting and visiting Earth. And I mean, just really out there, unfounded stuff, which I joked on the on this show that I was trying to tickle my nose so I could come up with one of those fake sneezes that featured the BS word, but
I
it took a lot for me not to just go off and just start,
but you know,
do something to embarrass myself.
I think a lot of people were surprised he came out with those comments, but I think because of his political background, he kind of thought he had remit to say whatever he wanted. But
yeah,
altogether, I would say, and the proof in the pudding will be, is that on the citizen hearings, I think it was an amazing event overall. There were far more pluses than negatives for me.
Yes, I agree, absolutely.
And whether it's this week, next year, after I'm dead, sooner or later, there will be some kind of a breakthrough on this subject, whether you call it disclosure or whatever, but there will be an acceptance that ET is there. As and when that happens, I think it will all come back to those citizen hearings as being one of the first key collective political points in history where people tried to do something politically. Because to me, that was a political event. It was not a UFO conference. It was a political event. And we have to politicize UFOs to make an impression on the world.
Yeah, I do agree. And I think that, you know, it's baby steps forward, a couple steps back, baby steps forward. And I do think it was important. And it did engender some good coverage out there. The New York Times being the most notable that one night where you and I hung out and the guy read the article as it was being posted. That was exciting.
Well, that was exciting for you because you know the American audience. For me, I read that article. Somebody showed me on the phone, and I would class it on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of UFOs. It was probably a 7. I know it was important because it was in the New York Times, that doesn't usually say anything, but it wasn't great shakes. But because of its notoriety and the past criticising of the subject, it was fairly important. But he won a great article, but it was a slight step forward. That's, I think, what it was. But what I would say was that, you know, in the course of the week, what impressed me, and for me there was a eureka moment, and I think you were there to probably witness this, was like just on the Monday, the first day of the hearings, at the end of it, when the summing up by former Congresswoman Caroline Kilpatrick, when she was doing the summing up at the end of the first day of people giving testimony, there was more like a eureka moment, because she said, look, I'm bowled over by the testimony, the quality of the testimony that was given. And she said, after one day, I've heard enough that convinces me there should be full congressional hearings. And it's at that point there, the whole panel behind her, politicians stood up, clapped. The whole audience broke out into applause, and Steve Bassett was wheeled in and took a round of applause. Now, that was totally unexpected, that just on one day's hearing of the evidence, that these politicians, who didn't really have a clue about it, were convinced enough to say, yeah, we've heard enough, you've got some good evidence there. And this is before the questionable people, really. It was a historical first day in the sense of they set out the parameters of what was going to follow during the week. But, you know, Richard Dolan is a very skilled historian and brought a lot of gravitas to this subject. He's written arguably the best book ever written, the first part of his trilogy, UFOs and National Security State, as the best history book on politics and UFOs that I've seen. So, you know, he was there. You've got Grant Cameron, who's an excellent researcher from Canada. I think Stanton Freeman was there on the first day. You had Stephen Bassett. Yes, there was Stephen Gray there as well, which is an aside. But I do think that, you know, overall, that was an amazing point for them, somebody with her level of experience in public office, to say, and they all stood up and clapped, so the whole panel of six stood up, and what came out during the week was that they were almost having brain overload. By the second day, they were almost embarrassed by the quality of some of the evidence, the pilot cases. Just can I give one example of where this came out? Former Senator Merrill Cook had been, I think, fairly sceptical during the week and had kept saying, yeah, but you're not saying it has to be ET. You know, there was always a get-out kind of thing. But when he heard the testimony live from the pilot, Colonel Oscar Santa Maria from Peru, who said that he chased and shot at a UFO in broad daylight and went on an 18-minute dogfight, the body language of Merrill Cook, his jaw was literally on the ground. And to see a politician reduced to being in awe of that testimony was a privilege to be there. And that's how powerful it could have been. Now, I think you could have had 50 pilots there who were vetted up to the eyeballs, and that would have been an even more impressive than all of us put together. Yeah. But 50 pilots, there's no way to go with pilots, but, you know, especially in broad daylight, especially when it's radar confirmed, ground and airborne radar confirmed, often multiple air ground radar and ground. You know, those kind of cases, it just proved it on its own to me.
Yeah. 64 rounds of 30-millimeter cannon fire. Let's move on. We got a bunch of questions, Gary. A lot of people are excited that you're on the Paracast, and we finally got you here.
I've only been doing 11 years, so I'll enjoy the one in 11 years' time, maybe.
Yeah.
Or you'll be screaming and yelling, wondering why you ever got involved in the UFO field. And, gee, wouldn't it be more fun to go chase bank robbers?
No.
We're going to have a break in a very short amount of time, so I just wanted to let you know that. And Chris will start our next segment with some more questions from our listeners. Our guest this week, ladies and gentlemen, is Gary Heseltine. He's a former police officer. He's involved in a database project in which he's collected hundreds of cases from fellow law enforcement officers in the UK. He has a new UFO magazine coming out. Something that I know a lot about, having done one of those things myself long, long time ago in that other galaxy. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Being prepared against possible food shortages and economic collapse is not complicated. Just remember two words. Disaster. Stuff. Add .com after those two words and you've got just one site for all your preparedness needs. DisasterStuff.com prepares your family against food shortages with Linden Farms freeze-dried foods in buckets or Gourmet Reserves freeze-dried food in number 10 cans, both with free shipping. Purify and rid your water of contaminants with a Big Berkey or other Berkey system and get free shipping plus a water level spigot or fluoride filter at cost. And protect your radios and other electronics from EMPs with our EMP Faraday bags, starting at just $5.90. When the food shortages and economic instability happens, be ready with all your stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Just remember two words, DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.